Morning, we do have a special guest speaker. It's a joy to have him here with us every time that the Lord allows for him to come and share with us. He is from Sewing Circle Ministries and also Safe Harbor Ministries. And I'm going to get it all wrong, so I'm just going to stop and let you tell him when you get up here. Help me welcome up Pastor Steve Greenberg.
Right. Praise the Lord. Oh, I'm going to share on a subject that's dear to my heart, the grace of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you just with anticipation of you speaking to our hearts, Lord. May it come to us through your Spirit. May we have hearts and minds able to receive, able to apply, able to understand. Lord, would you supernaturally just touch us? Lord, we're excited to be here. We're excited to have your word come alive, speak to our hearts, show us all that you desire to show us. Today, will you show us different arenas of your grace? Lord, speak to each one, Lord, the way you wish. May each one be able to receive all that you desire to give. And we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Open your Bibles to 2 Peter 3:18. When I became a Christian, one of the things I didn't understand is God's grace. I'm still learning. I don't have it fully understood. And you're going to see that he's going to be teaching us about his grace throughout eternity. So it's a growing process. But when I came to know about the grace of God, I thought of it as forgiveness. I didn't have a fullness of it. And it hindered my growth. It kind of stunted me. I kept struggling. Why can I not grow? And I said, yeah, I love grace. That's forgiveness. But as we're going to see, grace is much, much more than forgiveness. Forgiveness is just the starting out of God's grace. I hope this lesson will be something that will help you to apply God's grace in a greater way. So as we look at 2 Peter 3:18, we're told, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. In the context here, people weren't growing in the grace of God. People had come in and twisted the word of God. They were turning to carnality. They were becoming carnal, unstable, dull of hearing. They weren't growing. They were immature. They had a lack of knowledge. So we're encouraged here, but grow. Grow means to increase. Add an addition. To be fruitful, to maturity, to be filled up, to be built up. But grow. That's what we all want to do. We want to grow. Sometimes there's things that are hindering us from growing. For me, part of it was I put myself under the law. I tried to be perfect. I tried to live by the external rules and guidelines. I tried to be perfect. And it was nothing but failure after failure after failure. And being that I couldn't be perfect, I tried to make everybody else think that they had to be perfect. I condemned them and judged them and became critical. Many of you might struggle in that same arena. The Word wants to set you free. God is the only one perfect. Well, when we have God living in us and He's dwelling and working out through us, then we have His perfect life in and through us. That's the only way that applies. We cannot live externally. We have to have our heart changed. We have to have our life changed. And that's what the grace of God wants to do. It wants to change us from the inside out. That naturally, We will abide in the Word of God. It'll come from an inner heart, an inner desire, not an external works relationship. God wants us to come to Him, and He wants to change us from the inside out. But grow in the grace of God. When I think of the grace of God, I think immediately of Ephesians 2, 4 through 10. Let's turn there. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Do you understand that it was by grace you've been saved? It's by God's grace, God's unmerited favor, God's mercy, God's forgiveness, God's desire to have a relationship with you, God desiring to have you have power to live the Christian life in victory, the resurrection life, a life where He's getting glory in everything, where you can have power over sin. Sin would not have dominion over you. You'd have power over it by the grace of God. And just think, you were dead in your trespasses. All you cared about was you. Me, myself, and I. That's all that matters. By grace, God reached in, touched your heart. You came to a place where you, by faith, received the gift of God, the gift of grace. It was a work of God. We received it, but it was a work of God. It was a work of God's grace. Think of what that grace must be to take a dead man, a wretched man, a sinner, and bring him into the family of God. When you think of God's grace, it's amazing. We're going to see it's unsearchable. It's beyond finding out. But He's revealed these truths in His Word that we're to apply. We want to be taught these truths so we can live them out, so we can grow, that we can mature. Verse 6 says, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's amazing. Man, where'd we come from? Where were we at? What were we doing? And to be brought into a place where we're brought into an inheritance, brought into the family of God, where we're going to be seated with Christ in the heavenlies. Wow. It's awful. It's awesome. It's awestruck. It's unbelievable that God would take you and me, the wretches that we are, and glorify Himself. Verse 7 says, that in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace. Exceeding riches of His grace. Wow, we're going to be developing and learning throughout eternity, throughout the ages to come. And as we look at Christ, as we look at God, we're going to see, we're going to just be amazed at the unfathomable riches of grace that are going to unfold throughout the seasons of life. I get excited when I see that, when I think of that, when I'm trying to meditate on that. Exceeding riches of His grace as the dispense in all the areas of our life, from birth to growth onto eternity and throughout all the ages. In His kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Again, it's found in Christ Jesus. He is the dispenser of all grace. Verse 8 tells us, for by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Again, he wants to clarify in verse 9, he says, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Not of works. Early in my Christian life, I tried to get favor from God by my works. I thought if I prayed more, if I did more rules, if I did more devotions, if I did more this or that or this or that, then I would get more favor from God. And of course, I just failed. I committed to this. Just like Moses, right? He got the law. Gave it to the people. What did people say? We will do all that you say. And what did they do after that? They failed. They sinned. They worshiped idols. They turned their back on God. Praise God. We're not under law. We're under grace. Praise God. Grace is able to overcome all that you deal with. God's grace is able to give you victory in every area of your life. It's about a relationship. It's not about works. It's not about what you do. It's about who you know. I didn't understand that. If I want grace, it's not for me to do these great things. Because what did God say? They had nothing but filthy, dirty rags. If I do it in my own strength, it's worthless. It's empty. It's vain. It's rebelliousness to God. God is the one that wants to work in and through my life. The only thing that will last, the only thing that will get to eternity is the things that God has worked through our lives. And that is only developed through a relationship with Jesus Christ. When you think of grace, I think of coming boldly to the grace of God. To receive mercy and help in time of need. And I'm in need of that all the time. I fall upon my knees. I fall upon worship before God. God, man, I can't do this. And He loves when we say that. He loves when we say, Lord, help me. He rescues me every time. Even when I wait till the last minute, and I should have did it much earlier. God wants us to be entering His throne, entering His room of grace all the time, not just when we need it. Every day, throughout the day, He wants us to be with Him. He wants us to be communing with Him. He wants us to be praying always with Him. He wants us to be fellowshipping with Him, worshiping Him. Throughout the day. It's a relational reality. It's not a works trip. It's relational. You want to change? You cling on to Jesus. You tell Him, I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't overcome this. And He goes, no problem. In Christ, you can have victory. In your own strength, what happens? Failure after failure after failure. Man. Many of you, like myself, became a Christian, got all excited, and then it was failures after failures. Why can't I overcome this sin? Why can't I block my mind from this? Why can't I stop doing this? Why? And then some of us then now we're perfect. We want to perfect the flesh. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do this. Only to find out that everything you said you were going to do crashed and burned. And it's almost like I can remember the day that I was there. I was serving on staff at Twin Peaks. And I was like, man, this Christian life, it's so hard. And I can remember God speaking to me. And I can remember a verse that popped out. And it was, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And I went, no, it's not. I got all these rules and regulations. I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to do this. I get up at 4 and I don't go to sleep till 12. What do you want me not to sleep at all? Because I got to do all these things. And God then took me into a deeper relationship with Him. He showed me it's not about works. It's not about what you do. It's about who you know, who you're in love with, who you're madly in love with, who you're relating to, who you're talking to. You're talking to yourself about what you're going to do. It's going to fail. You're talking about Jesus, clinging on Him, abiding in Him, worshiping Him. Guess what? Your life will be changed and transformed. Man, you're going to get mercy in time of need. You're going to get help in every moment. You're going to be crying out from Him from the start to the finish. Not just when you're desperate and you crashed and burned, but all the way through, He's going to be there. He's going to give you help. You want help? I want help all the time. He's going to give it to you as you abide in with Him. But I stopped and said, man, you mean I can enter into a rest? Wow. What does that mean? What does that mean, Lord? Steve, everyone out here, stop your works. Stop your outward things that you do, the rules and regulations that you put on yourself. Let Jesus Christ do it through you, naturally, supernaturally. The grace of God, as you allow the grace of God to work into your life, it's going to change you. It's going to change you in a way that you'll never, far beyond what you can ever imagine. Those things that you struggle with now, you won't struggle with in the same way. Because why? Because every time a thought comes into your mind, you're worshiping Jesus. You got the full armor of God on. You're abiding with Him. You're praying with Him. You're communing with Him. You know, when people come to me and say, I can't get out of this sin, I said, cling to Jesus. Hang on to Jesus. Walk in the Spirit. Deny the works of the flesh. What does that mean? It means get close to Jesus in every area of your life. Only do those things with Jesus. Nothing else. Your mind is consumed with Jesus. Your thoughts are consumed with Jesus. Everything you do is worshiping Him and praying to Him and allowing your dad, your best friend, to live in and through your life. Your king, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Abba, Father, to be the one ruling and reigning your life. And what does that mean? You give up your life. You surrender your life. You give it up to Jesus Christ. In verse 10, it says, for we are His workmanship. We're His workmanship. We're His poema. We're His poem. We're His puzzle. We're His craftings. Created in Christ Jesus for good works. Those are the works that will have an eternal effect. Those are the works that will last forever. Those are the works that will be there in eternity. Anything that you do with the wrong motivation of your heart and your own strength, guess what? It'll burn. It'll be worthless. And I know, I've done so much of that. I don't want to do that anymore. I don't want to do works where it's about a wrong motivation. It's to look good before men. It's to look good before this rule. It's to look good to watch me, I'm doing this. No, it's going to burn. Why do it? Why waste your time? God knows the depths of your heart and why you do things and what you do things and how you do things. We want to take you. We want the Word of God, God's grace to touch you in a way that it's no longer you that's living. It's Christ in you. And the motivations in your heart are His sufficiency, His power, His anointing, the Holy Spirit working in and through your lives. For good works which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You know, God has a plan. He's given each one of you a gift. Gifts. He's given you the Holy Spirit till He comes and gets you, so that you might, through the grace gifts, through the gifts of the Holy Spirit, be used at this time. He didn't save you so you could do your own thing. He saved you so that you would be in the body of Christ. And He had prepared beforehand these things that He wants you to do. These people that He wants you to witness to. These people that He wants you to disciple. These people that He wants you to be a light to. Salt. That you would be different, that you would be set apart, that you would be transformed. That people, when they look at you, they would see, wow, they've never read the Bible, but I knew that guy. He was a drug dealer. He was a murderer. He was a thief. Man, he was a wretched sinner, but look at, he's different. He's kind. He's good. He's loving. He's faithful. He's patient. Whoa, what happened to that guy? They see you, they're reading the Bible. They see you, they're seeing Jesus. Wow. You know, many people will never pick up a Bible. They'll read anything else. And some people can't even read. But you know what? Your life, your testimony, your faithfulness, the fruit of the Spirit as the Holy Spirit's working through you, you are a testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was 3 weeks ago, 3 to 4 weeks ago, and I was home. My father that doesn't know the Lord, we've been praying for years. And out of the blue, the Lord told me to call him. So I called him and he said, I'm not going to go to the doctor anymore. In fact, I'm going to die on my bed. Probably the next few days I'm going to die. And he said to me, he says, well, I had a dream and Mom told me to come up to heaven. And the Lord gave me boldness. And I said, Dad, you're not going to heaven. He goes, what? I said, you're not going to heaven. That was not Mom. That was a lie. Mom's in heaven. I'm going to heaven. My wife's going to heaven. Your daughter's going to heaven. Your son's going to heaven. But you're not. And we got in a huge debate. And I got to share with him about the Lord Jesus Christ. And then after that, me and my wife packed up. We drove an hour to his house and we shared the Lord with him. And he bowed his head. And he prayed to ask Jesus into his heart. But my wife said, you know your son. You know your daughter. You know how they once were. And you know how he is now. You've seen the change. And the change came from the Lord Jesus Christ, nothing else. You know your wife. You know how she loved you, how she cherished you, how she took care of you. You know how you treated her. You know all those years you wouldn't let her go to church because you hated God. But she loved you. And God loves you. And God wants you to know where you're going after death. He said when he died, he'd be in the dirt. I said, whoa. What do you got to lose? You got eternity or nothing? And it was amazing because the Lord Jesus Christ was there. My wife held hands with him and they bowed their head and he received Jesus. You know what happened after that? I prayed. And still doubt comes in. Did he really receive Jesus? Called my brothers and sisters. And the grace of God was at work. Working. And it was a week later before we really talked again. And he said, I've been reading the Bible for 2 hours every day. I'm like, all right. I goes, God, praise the Lord. And he's reading the Bible and he said, you know, my first prayer that I've ever prayed to Jesus, you know, he went to Hebrew school. He speaks Hebrew. He spoke the first, in our conversations, he read the first five verses of Genesis in Hebrew from when he was a young boy. His first prayer was to receive Jesus into his heart. You know what his second prayer was? The thing that was going to kill him was the fact he couldn't go to the bathroom. His kidneys were failing. He thought, well, Jesus can bring me to heaven. I wonder if Jesus can heal this problem. And on his own, he said a prayer to Jesus. And he said, Jesus, help me to go to the bathroom. I don't really want to die. And guess what? He calls me. He says, could Jesus heal me? I said, yeah, he can heal you. I said a prayer, and guess what? I'm going to live longer. Amen. Praise the Lord. Our God is an awesome God. God has plans for each one of you. God has gifted you wonderfully. And it may be that day as it was with my dad. He's on his deathbed. He's not going to let the doctors come. He's just going to die. Hadn't been to the bathroom in 6 or 7 days. He's gone. And Jesus came down. The grace of God came down and touched his life. The prayers that were prayed for him, ministered to him, the grace of God was there. The grace of God is there for you guys. There's people God wants you to meet. There's people God wants you to share. God wants you to have that powerful life. Well, you might ask, as I've asked, well, I want more of that grace. Let's talk about that. Let's turn to James chapter 4. It would be wonderful if you guys on your own time would do a study on God's grace. I love to just highlight it, underline it in my Bible. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. But here in James 4:6, it says, but he gives more grace. And that's a key. Gives more grace. Wow. How can I get more grace? Tell me. He gives more grace. He says, God resists the proud. He gives a contrast. But gives grace to the humble. Man, when you see this, you have to understand that if you're proud, if you're a know-it-all, if you have everything figured out, that guess what? God is resisting you. I was a know-it-all. One who always had something to say. I actually thought more highly of myself than I ought to. Many of you are like that too, right? You always have to be told to be quiet. And you know, if you always have something to say, guess what? You think you have something to offer, and you don't. This word is what you have to offer. Stick with this, and you're safe. Stay away from your opinions and all the other things you can say. But God resists the proud, gives grace to the humble. The first thing you want to do is, Lord, make me humble. Lord, work in me a humble heart. Lord, work in me a contrite, broken spirit. Take me to that place where I understand that my works, my understanding, my knowledge, the things that I know that aren't included in here are absolutely worthless. That my own abilities, my own strengths are worthless. God gives grace to the humble. So start praying that God would humble you. That God would show you how big He is. How awesome He is. How great the grace of God is. And how little you are. Have that perspective. The right perspective. Apart from God, you can do nothing. Therefore, in verse 7, it says, submit to God. Have that humble heart. Submit to His word. To submit to those who are godly men and women around you. As they're led by the Lord, that you would understand that they're leading you in that path. Resist the devil and he will flee. And verse 8 says, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves. Get rid of that self-exaltation. Get rid of that pride. Get rid of that know-it-all-ness. Get rid of that where you think everything's about you. Where you perspect yourself on everyone. Where you think that everything's in light of your life. And what you do. And your perspective. Get rid of that. It's now that you're in Christ, it's about others. You're to die to self. You're to surrender your life to Jesus. In verse 10 it says, humble yourselves again. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. And He will lift you up. His grace will be poured out. His grace will give you favor. His grace will give you power to overcome the things you never could overcome. Apart from His grace, you'd never get saved. Apart from your grace, you'd never be overcomers of sin. The things that are haunting you in your life, you need more grace, power, boldness, the Spirit to overcome those things. Turn to 2 Peter also. 1 Peter 5:5. We're talking about grace. We're talking about applying grace. We want to grow in grace. We want to live daily by God's grace so that we can live the victorious Christian life. Again, in 1 Peter 5, verse 5, it says, likewise, you younger people, young adults, adults, young in the Lord, baby Christians, growing Christians, submit yourself to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another. Having a submissive spirit, having a spirit that's subjection to authority. You know, you can tell pride when somebody says something to you and you argue and fight back and have an answer and make an excuse and blame the guy next to you and blame the people over there, right? It's not my fault. It's his, it's hers, it's them, it's my mom's, it's my dad's, it's my grandpa's, it's my uncle's. No, no. God wants us to take responsibility for ourselves and submit to the Lord. Repent. You know, one thing we got to do is when we sin, we stop. We recognize a sin, we go to the Lord, we have Him deal with it. And guess what? I love it. He remembers it no more and removes it as far as the east is from the west. I praise God for that. I don't know about you guys, but I'm a wretched sinner. And I'm saved by the grace of God. And God's transforming me day by day onto eternity and throughout. So praise God for that. And you know what? I praise God because when I repent and I hear that voice that condemns me again, I know it's not my loving God. I know it's the devil. And I rebuke him in the name of Jesus because my sins are forgiven and they're under the blood of Christ. And I praise God for that. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another. You're here. Are you submissive not only to the leaders, to the elders, to God, to His Word, but to one another? Are you humble? And where you're not, man, please take the time, repent, say you're sorry, ask God to give you mercy and grace to be an overcomer. You know what? If you never repent, then you can't get past that point. If you blame someone else, you'll just keep doing it. It's their fault. It's his fault. It's my mom's fault. You know, I've heard Christians for years blame their parents. I said, when are you going to take any kind of responsibility for your own actions? Your parents are dead. They're with the Lord. Grow up. Get right. Repent. You repent. You know, I love to repent. I love to tell people I'm sorry. Ministry happens when we're of the repentant heart, when we're walking and hate sin. Hate that exaltation. Hate that proud heart. I don't want to be proud. I see that God's grace is poured out when I'm humble. So I want to, if I have a problem with somebody, man, I want to be the first one to say, hey, I'm sorry. You know, God has given us the ministry of reconciliation with one another. Man, it's the most mature one that says this. Sorry, it doesn't matter. Well, you're 90% wrong and you're 10% wrong. And, you know, it's this, it's that. Who cares? Let's get right with the Lord. Let's have His grace upon our life. Let's walk with His love, His forgiveness. Man, He saved me from my sins. Why am I going to keep dragging them around? Why am I going to put them on others? I'm going to have victory. How am I going to have victory? Repent. Turn. Ask God's grace to help you. All of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For again, we're told God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Therefore, in conclusion, humble yourselves. Ask God to do that work that only He can do. I remember when I thought about humbling myself, I thought, well, how do I humble myself? Man, I'm so prideful. All I think about myself. How do I humble myself? Well, have you ever tried to humble yourself in your own strength? You can't do it. You see people with false humility. Oh, brother, I'm so humble. Oh, brother, yeah, you know, I love you, man. Hey, can I get some money? Oh, yeah, sure. You put on this big story and then you're just trying to sell something, get something in return. Yeah, you know, that's not humble. God has to do that work from the inside out. And only the Holy Spirit, the grace of God, can do that work. Again, humble yourselves. Do you want to humble yourselves? Pray that God would humble you, that He would show you the wretch you are, show you the sinner you are, and that you need His grace. You need His help. You need Jesus in every area of your life. Again, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. All your cares, all your worries, God's grace is there to take care of it. Let's turn to Romans chapter 5 for a minute. We've seen that God's grace comes out through the humble heart. Well, God's grace also flows through a life living by faith. And we have a passage here in Romans chapter 5, verse 2, that I want to look at for a moment. We'll start in verse 1. It says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. Wow. I'd like to stop there for a moment. I see this grace again. Access by faith into God's grace. Well, we've already learned we want more grace. Well, here we're told that we have access by faith. What is faith, I might ask? We're told in Hebrews what faith is. I want to give you another definition of faith. Faith is trust in the work of another. Trust in the work of another. Trust, reliance on the work of another. Who's that other? Jesus Christ. Access by faith into this grace. Access by faith. Who are we going to put our trust in? Me? You? Moms and dads? Leaders? No. The faith that we have is that trusting relationship in the Lord Jesus Christ. That we're seeking Him in every area of our life. In Hebrews chapter 11, just to read that, we're told, now faith is the substance or realization of the things hoped for, the evidence, the confidence of things not seen. You know, God's Word declares it. Sometimes I don't understand it. Sometimes I don't believe it. But guess what? I'm going to trust in God's Word over whatever I think, in whatever way I think. I found it to be true every time. And guess what? Jesus, everything He has said, everything He's about, He cannot lie. He's true to His Word. Everything that He said would happen, happened. Everything that He said, He fulfilled. No matter what happens, I'm going to put my faith in who? Education, the president, my boss, my mom, the bank account, my money, knowledge. No. I'm going to put my faith in who? Jesus. That same faith that you put in to come into the kingdom is the same faith He wants you to walk daily, every day. You know, sometimes we, by faith we got born again, and all of a sudden now we're going to do it our own way. Now we're going to live the world because we have our security in heaven. No, no. You know, the most miserable person you'll ever meet is a Christian that has one foot in the world and one foot in heaven. Oh man, they're miserable. They'll rip you off, they'll lie to you, they'll steal from you, they'll take advantage of you if you're not discerning. Please know that Christians can be huge sinners. Just because they're a Christian doesn't mean that they have to walk in the light. Have discernment, have wisdom. Trust in Him. What are we going to do? By faith. Daily. What are we going to do? We're going to be in His Word. We're going to be communing with Him. By faith, when He says something. He says here, we have access by faith. Lord, increase my faith. Increase my ability to trust You. You know, whenever I talk to people and they seem to have a little God, I go, man, your Jesus is sure small. He can't help you. You got all these problems. Yeah, I can't overcome this sin. I can't overcome this problem. I'm going, man, I don't know if you got the same Jesus. Because my Jesus, the Jesus that brought us out of our death into life and that's taken us to eternity, and we're going to be seated with Him in heaven, that knows every hair on our head, that Jesus, man, He's big. In fact, He's bigger than I can ever know or understand. I usually like people to start off and say, hey, why don't you study the attributes of God for a moment? He's everywhere. Oh man, He knows everything. Whoa. It's like you just start and you're just like, your mind gets blown right off the bat. You know? It's amazing. And that God from heaven would come down and make Himself a man only to be spit on and punched and go to the cross and be crucified. That is a loving God that paid that price, that took on sin for me and you. That we couldn't pay. And guess what? Death couldn't hold Him. He resurrected from the dead after 3 days. And He wanted to show you and me that, you know what? You walk with me, you have life. You're going to have life over death. Trust in the Lord. Lean on Him. Walk by faith. So if you're lacking faith, ask God, pray. Ask God to increase your faith. Get to know, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't know who He is, if you don't know all about Him, your faith is going to be lacking. Get to know Him. Study about Him. Learn who He is and what He's done and what He's about. Learn His characteristics, His character. Understand it. And learn it here, but apply it in your heart. Get it to your heart. Get it into a heart life, into an application. Anytime you're in need, you can go to Him by faith. You know, the Scriptures, the promises of God are only applied by faith. It's by faith. God said it. I believe it. These promises are true. They're valid. Let's turn to John chapter 15. Here's the relationship between us and Christ. And in John chapter 15, verses 4 and 5, abide in me. Abide, cling on, hang on, hold on to. Know that apart from Him, you can do nothing. That in everything you need Him. And in you, abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself. Jesus is in us. That's amazing. Unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Jesus would tell us, I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. You want to live that life, that powerful, fruitful life? It's all about abiding. It's all about walking by faith. It's all about trusting. It's all about walking in a humble heart. Understanding that, man, it's all about God's Word. It's all about Jesus. It's not about the things that you've learned in the world. You have to wash your mind of all those things all the time. And then it declares, for without me, without Jesus working in and through your life, without Christ there, without the Word working, without the grace of God working, without the Holy Spirit working, without me, you can do nothing. Or, apart from me, you can do nothing. Guess what? In John 6:63, it says, the flesh profits nothing. We're also told in John, they ask, what must we do? Walk with Jesus. It's easy. He made it easy. Walk with Jesus. Abide in Jesus. Let Him, as He's living in you through the Spirit, have full realm to do what He would like to do. You know, the only way that happens is if you die. Our agendas can supersede the work of the Spirit, the power of the grace of God. As we've seen, God resists the proud. Come to Him with a fresh heart to let the Spirit work, to be filled with the Spirit, to ask, Lord, let me have more of Your Spirit. And crucify that flesh. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 15. You know, people have heroes. They have all-stars. They have baseball heroes. They have football heroes. You know, I look at Paul as one of my heroes. You know? Man, the guy loved the Lord. How did he work? What made him function? How was he used so mightily? Here in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10, you get a little nugget. It says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. Paul would say, apart from God's grace, I'm nothing. Nothing would have happened. Nothing, nothing, nothing. And His grace towards me was not in vain. You know, His grace, the power that He wants to bestow upon you, can be hindered. But I labored more abundantly than them all, yet not I. Paul declared it wasn't him, it wasn't his intellectual ability, it wasn't his strength, it wasn't his physical endurance, his power. He clarifies that. He says, but the grace of God which was with me. wow. We get to look at a nugget. We see Paul. What made him click? What made him powerful? And he declares and tells us here, it's not about me. It's about the grace of God. And many of you, like myself, we misunderstood that. I thought I could do it. Man, I'm tough. I'm strong. I got a good mind. Whatever it may be. God doesn't need any of that. You know what He needs? Jesus working in and through your life. He'll work through all those things. In fact, He'll heal all the things that He needs to heal so that you can do all that He has planned beforehand that you might walk in it. By the grace of God. Let's take a moment and look at John chapter 1. I always ask my sons, oh, who's your superhero? And they know, Jesus, right? Because they have all these superheroes all over the place. And you got Spider-Man, you got all these different things. Jesus is our superhero. He's the one that's delivered us from sin. He's the one that we need to go to. And in John chapter 1, verse 16, catch this. And of His fullness we have all received grace for grace, grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace, the power of God and truth came through Jesus Christ. He's our model. He's our hero. He's our God. He's our King. He's the one that has bestowed this grace upon us. He's the dispenser of this grace. We want to get close to Him. We want that grace to live that powerful Christian life. Let's turn to Titus for a moment. Titus chapter 2. Verse 11 and 12. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, rightly, and godly in this present age. The grace of God, it has appeared to all of us. Are we going to grab hold of it? Are we going to receive it? Are we going to walk in it? Are we going to look at the grace and understand the manifold power of God in all the shades and aspects? It can affect our life. We can push it away or we can have more of it. When we're proud and prideful and know-it-alls and have an answer and talk all the time and blame everybody. Guess what? There's no grace for you. You're resisting that grace that God wants to give. When you humble yourself, you submit to the authorities, you get into God's Word, you trust in the Lord, you walk by faith, you abide in Him, you're in prayer, you're in communion, you take those times to worship Him. Guess what? His grace comes upon you. And when even, doesn't matter what you think, what you know, what you can do, because His grace will be there and give you victory in every instance. Give you victories in circumstances that are beyond your ability. Give you favor when you don't even know what happened. Things will look so horrible. Mountains will be falling on you. Pressures of finance, bills like this. You're sick. You don't know what you're going to do, but you go to the throne of God. And guess what? He dispenses mercy and grace and healing and touches your life and allows you to be all that He desires you to be. Don't neglect that. Grow in God's grace. Let His love, let His grace touch your life. Pastor Chuck wrote a book, Why Grace Changes Everything. You got to know. If you don't know about this grace, you got to grab hold of it. You got to study it for yourself. You got to let God's grace impact your life. Without God's grace, you're going to be dull, carnal, unstable, immature. And you know what? I'm always touched. In the book of Hebrews, it tells us that you ought to be a teacher. You ought to be evangelist. You ought to be the usher. You ought to be the administrator. But you're still a baby. Why are you still a baby? Because you haven't taken the Word of God. You haven't embraced the grace of God. You haven't let the Holy Spirit have its full throne and rule. You haven't let the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and your best friend rule and reign your life. You haven't given up. Pray. God loves those prayers that says, Lord, I desire to take up my cross and follow you. Lord, I can't do it. Lord, I'm a sinner. I've failed and failed and failed and failed. And I need you. I see a new glimpse of grace that is much more than forgiveness. That there's power there. I see Paul's life. I see Jesus' life. Wow, I want that. I want more of you, Jesus. I want you to take over my life like you've never had before. Lord, I want the fullness of your Spirit. Ask, and you shall receive. Come to me, all you that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you. Lord, we see that your grace has new dimensions, new aspects. I never realized that your grace can do so much, that it brought me out of the pit of hell, and it wants to work in me through my Christian life to be all that I can be in Christ. Lord, humble me. Help me to be a man and woman of faith, Lord, to trust you, to get a greater understanding of who you are and what you've done. Lord, help me to worship you, to commune with you, to go to your throne room day and night, to be about your business. Lord, help me to take responsibilities for my sin, to repent. And Lord, have your grace, have your mercy be there, that I can have victory in sin, over sin. Lord, help me to know the difference between my works and my will, Lord, and your will and your power and your sufficiency. Lord, help me to understand it's about growing in God's grace and growing in God's knowledge. Lord, open my eyes to see the greater aspects of your grace. Lord, I come before you as a wretched sinner in desperate need of you. Change me from the inside out. Lord, help me to understand the works and the laws and the motivations of my heart. How evil they've been. How works-oriented they are. And Lord, break me and humble me. Lord, I love you. We love you, Lord. We want more of you and less of me. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.